College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Drake May making the rounds. Yesterday, he was on Up and Adams with Kay Adams yesterday. Good morning, football. Sat down with your girl, Diana Rossini.
Nice.
Yeah, you know what, she has a show. You know what it's called? Or I think I know what it's called.
Dr. Diana.
It's called like, no, that's a different personality.
Yes, yes, yes.
Scoop City or something like that?
Oh, you told me this yesterday.
I'm like, wait, what the hell? Can't take that.
Moving in on my turf.
So she's Scoops, apparently.
So Drake was making the rounds yesterday. We didn't clip anything from the Good Morning Football sit down. I thought he did a good job in that setting, by the way. It's like 10 minutes showing off a little personality.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting to just see him as a Pro Bowl quarterback kind of leveling up a little bit in terms of his Q rating.
Yeah. He wouldn't talk after the season in the locker room, but he's making the rounds now.
Good point.
Yeah.
Anything to read into there? I think he was asked directly by Rossini about blowing off the press conference.
Yeah, no, that was... Oh, the press conference, I don't give a rat's ass about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was proposing to his girlfriend and all that other stuff.
I don't care about that. I didn't care about the day of the loss. I'm sorry, felt like a loss. The win over Buffalo.
It was a loss.
But the day after the season, not talking that Monday after the year when everybody's doing breakup interviews, I thought that was a bad look.
That was surprising to me because everybody else talked, even guys that were hurt, like Christian Gonzalez and David Andrews and many others.
We know Christian Gonzalez hates talking.
We do for a fact.
Even he talked.
Yeah, like so everybody talked. And like how many guys are 100% for sure going to be on the team next year? Not many, but Drake May is one of them, and he wasn't there. So I didn't love that. But since then, you know, he did the Pro Bowl thing.
Nah, I'm not too much of a talker.
No, not so much.
It's not what I like to do.
But
talking, no.
Now he's going out there because he is going to be the face of the Patriots, hopefully for the next decade plus. And hopefully he's earning his way to more Pro Bowls. He's going to more Super Bowls and things like that, and he gets used to this.
Yeah, and it's just, it does speak to, and maybe Mac was this way after his rookie year. I can't remember how Mac was marketed. He certainly tried with Noble and everything else. He always seemed goofier to me. But I can't remember exactly how Mac was marketed. Did he do a press blitz after the Pro Bowl, and was he being asked about recruiting players? I don't know. But it does speak to how people feel about Drake May's standing in the league, that they're even bothering having him on their shows and spending time talking about the Patriots. That does, on some level, and the media's wrong all the time, but it does speak to what they feel is some interest in a player like Drake May,
which I think
is important.
Bottomed out last year. So it does feel like arrows pointing up on the Patriots, but that doesn't mean there's not like a million teams above you. Yeah. It just means like the moves they have made this offseason with the coaching staff combined with what we saw with the young quarterback, like, okay, things are going in the right direction. But to his point, like he mentioned there and what everyone's going to be talking about is you need to bring in a lot of players. Like you brought in a lot of coaches, but you need to bring in a lot of players.
I do think that answer, to be honest, was a little lacking. It's like, oh yeah, I was doing some recruiting at the Pro Bowl. Really? Who?
Yeah.
Like, could you give a... Maybe,
well, he did somewhere, he did.
Maybe you can't really say names.
No, but he did somewhere. He was, like, naming names.
Well...
And was that with Rossini? It was one of the ones he did.
There was an answer. Maybe he did with Rossini.
Yeah.
There was an answer on Good Morning Football where he was asked about guys he liked being around at the Pro Bowl. He named Derwin James of the Chargers, who I don't think is going anywhere. He did name Big Jeff Simmons as a player who played for Mike Vrabel in Tennessee. So I don't know if there's anything to read into there with Jeffrey Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
But
I think there could be with Simmons.
There was maybe a little bit.
The guy that's liking every post about every
good point.
Coach
he's been liking,
which is hilarious.
Liking tweets about Vrabel, liking posts about Terrell Williams, etc. And so, you know, I felt like that answer, and maybe there were others, that answer to Kay Adams I thought was lacking. It's like, oh, yeah, I was doing some recruiting. Okay, that's very light on specifics. You don't need to name names. But like, yeah, totally, I was doing recruiting, and people like what the Patriots are all about. Do they?
No, I there's another clip I think that does have some names. I think Kay Adams was able to maybe follow up and get
wrangle
some more
out
of it. I think a little bit, to which point you're like, I don't really know what you're supposed to say. This gets into the whole conversation, too, with like Tom Brady, like what he's allowed to say and isn't allowed to say as like an owner, commentator. But even players, because I think the whole collusion thing is ridiculous. Like, who cares? There's always going to be collusion. There's always going to be ways around it to talk to different people.
Well, it happens. I mean, if you're blatant about it and you get caught, then you should be reprimanded. But I'm not naive enough to say it doesn't happen. Of course it happens.
It happens in every league all the time because you can't say free agency opens and then these guys agree to these massive contracts like the second after. And you're like, yeah, you put that all together in 1 minute? So you know, that's whatever. But like when you have players directly talking about other players, it's like we want them to answer questions. We want them to be honest about it. But then it's like, I don't know, that guy's on another team. Can he really talk about him? So it's in a weird spot because Drake May is meeting all the...
Isn't that tampering?
Isn't that tampering? Where's that from?
Yeah, what is that from?
That was Giannis.
Oh, Giannis.
Maybe during like an all-star draft or something.
Classic.
You know, you know what? He's right, because LeBron legit was. I think that was an old LeBron-Giannis draft, draft.
One of
and
many.
LeBron took all the guys. I think he took Anthony Davis that year. He took like all the guys from the Warriors. Like he was going pretty crazy with it.
It was one of many NBA All-Star Game format changes where they had the draft. Yes, okay, so Giannis is wondering about tampering. Maybe the league should have tampered a little more on Luka, and you don't wind up with such a terrible deal for Dallas, at least long-term. You can jump in on this, 617-779-7937. Marketability of Drake May. Do people want to play with him?
Real quick. All right. So here are some names. So this is Drake May with Kay Adams.
That's a great... Kay, you got some great questions.
He does make a lot of weird noises.
He does this constantly.
Yeah. So he was asked...
That's like Sling Blade-ish. Can I hear that again?
The mashed potatoes, that guy.
Yeah.
So he was asked about who he would like to have on the Patriots.
Okay.
That's a great... Okay, you got some great questions here today. Okay. Jamar's obviously a great answer, I think. Another receiver there that I met. Nico Collins was awesome. Any other free agents? Who else? I don't know any other free agents. Justin Jefferson, he's an easy person to come to Foxborough.
You're playing this. You're playing this so well. I don't know who's a free
agent. So yeah, I don't know who's a free agent or not. I mean, at least she said Jamar.
At least he named names.
But he said Nico Collins, Justin Jefferson, and Jamar Chase.
I mean, Chase could switch teams. I guess
I'd take all three of those guys.
Those other two aren't going anywhere. I don't think.
Unlikely.
Chase could, just because the Bengals are a mess.
Unlikely.
But okay, you could jump in on that again. Something. The marketability of Drake May.
Oh,
Do guys want to play agent? The guys want to play with Billy Bob there. You can jump in on the phones. Meanwhile, does Drake May factor into the top 10 quarterbacks for 2025? Keith, he was not a top 10 quarterback in the league this year, despite being named to the Pro Bowl.
Right.
Where would he fit in on your list of the top 10 quarterbacks for 2025?
Okay. So we always toss out, is this guy a top 10 quarterback? Is this guy a top 10 quarterback? Whatever. Mm-hmm. And then you're always just like, yes or no. But you actually have to make the list in order to really do this, because I am guilty of having like 20 guys in my top 10.
We've talked about it with Hurts a lot, where it's like, well, is Jalen Hurts a top 10 quarterback?
Right.
He's probably the back end. We've talked about that since the Super Bowl has been set, and we decided to really sit down and rank and to figure out where these guys are.
It's important for like in the NBA, because I always have way too many, or like wide receivers, I always have way too many. So here are my four 2025. So it's a little bit of projection.
Yep.
But for 2025, my top 10. Normally, I think doing a list like this, you should do 10 to 1, but I think there's way more drama, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Okay,
top is kind of the same. So let's
start
at 1. So Mahomes. I'm going to go Lamar Jackson. We've had this debate before at 2. Mm-hmm. I think you can go either way here, but I'm going to go Lamar. I think he's going to win another MVP. And then I would go Josh Allen 3. Then I'd go Joe Burrow 4. That's got to be the top 4. In some order for everybody.
So I'll tell you right now. I go Mahomes, Allen, Jackson, Burrow. But so we just flip. We flip Allen and Jackson.
But those four guys. And if we were even doing, if this was a tier Tuesday, we would have Mahomes next tier down, Allen and Jackson, maybe Burrow, or probably another tier down.
I'd probably go one more down. And Burrow's on like his own tier.
But then I think there's a gap. Like I think there's a true Mount Rushmore right now of quarterbacks in the league. After that, I think it's up for grabs. And I think number 5 even becomes very, very debatable. I'd go Justin Herbert at 5. Coming off a good year with Harbaugh. He didn't throw it a ton, but he threw like no picks. It got his team into the playoffs. I've always liked Herbert. I've always questioned some of his coaching. So I got Herbert 5. I'm going to go Jaden Daniels 6. Maybe a little bit of recency bias, but the guy was a machine, got all the way to the conference championship. So I'll go Jaden Daniels 6. I'm going to go Jalen Hurts 7. So he has a lot more around him than Daniels does. So you're like, well, you just beat him head-to-head. But obviously, Philly's got a better roster. My guy, Baker Mayfield, 8.
I'm surprised you have him that low.
Yeah, I was thinking about putting him over Daniels and Hurts.
I'm surprised you have Mayfield as low as you do, quite frankly.
Okay, all right.
But so
I
right
should have
now,
him higher.
You have Hurts 7, you said Mayfield 8?
Yeah.
Okay, keep going.
Jordan Love 9 and Dak Prescott 10.
Okay.
So Dak Prescott hurt this year, but if you go back the year before, to me, he was squarely in my top 10. So I'm going to hope, I'm predicting a bounce back for Dak Prescott.
So 8 of our 10 names are the same.
Wow.
We have different names at the back end. So after Burrow, I went Daniels 5. You had him 6.
Yep.
I have him at 5. I put Baker at 6.
Ooh.
Baker's now done this a couple years in a row with different offensive coordinators, some different personnel. Like Godwin was hurt for half of this year.
Yep.
I know Mike Evans has been there. Running backs have changed. I think Baker is pretty safe now, which I wouldn't have said two years ago.
All right.
I have Justin Herbert at 7, so I'm with you. I like Herbert.
Yeah.
I actually went Stafford 8. Then I went Hurts 9. I put C.J. Stroud 10th. There is projection there because Stroud did not have a great year, but he's coming off a great rookie year. I expect him to rebound to a degree. So I thought of Love. I thought of Dak. They were both on my kind of honorable mention list of names that I at least thought about. Tua and Purdy were on there as well. Neither of us have Jared Goff in the top 10, which I do feel okay about. I feel okay leaving him out of the top 10. But statistically, the last couple of years, that's a tough guy to leave off the list. I just think he's so scheme dependent, talent dependent. And if he does it this year without Ben Johnson, I'll give him a little more credit. He's done it for different organizations. But it was McVay, Ben Johnson. Let's see how he does this year. And then I'll begrudgingly refer to Jared Goff as a top 10 quarterback. Yeah. But neither of us had him in the top 10.
So that's where I'm at. Goff was one of the first guys that just missed. So Goff and Brock Purdy probably fall into that same thing where I could see other people being like, well, look at these numbers. Look at these wins. Look at the stats. And like, how come those guys aren't on there? I just think in a vacuum, the other 10 are better. Stroud probably would have been in it. Kind of a down year, although the team still made the playoffs and, you know, won a game. But I'm not a huge Stroud guy.
I'm curious what the play calling change there does for him, too. I think Slowick looked great year one. I think they were very run heavy last year, so I'm curious how that all looks.
Stafford's a tough one for me to rank. I considered him as well. I feel like he's clearly on the downside of his career, but how much does he have left? When he had both his receivers, he looked pretty good. Then when he didn't, it was kind of like, whatever. They're not going to have Cooper Kupp next year. And then the other group, which is like flirting with middle of the pack, would be Drake May, Tua, Kyler Murray, maybe my guy Bo Nix. Like maybe that's sort of
so
your...
Let's do all those individually. Tua or Drake May?
I'd rather have Drake May.
So if I'm starting a team, I'd rather have Drake May. For next year, I would still say Tua.
Okay.
I just think he's safer, but I wouldn't want to sign like a long-term contract for Tua, but we're talking about
for 2025,
I would take Tua. Kyler Murray or Drake May?
For 2025, I'd take Kyler Murray.
That one, so I think I'd go Drake on that one.
I think Kyler, so you like Tua more than Kyler?
I learned from Kyler this year. You said that like maybe I wasn't right on Kyler.
Wait, who? Him?
Keith. Me?
No, I think
but I'm back in.
I think we both like Kyler Murray more than most.
He's terrible.
I'm shook that I didn't have Baker Mayfield 5th. I'm pissed that Jones has him higher than me.
He's all rattled.
That's what I'm shook at.
I almost put Baker Mayfield above Jaden. I almost had him.
I should have had him 5th.
Yeah, well, you have Mayfield.
I did have me. It's way too low. So,
point still stands. I would take Tua over Drake.
You
would take Kyler over Drake.
I think I would, yeah.
The other name you mentioned was Bo Nix. I like to think we'd both take Drake May over Bo Nix.
Yeah, I would.
Okay.
I would.
So I would say Drake May is like 15, 16. He's definitely not top 10. Now, he has the talent to get there. He could make a huge leap this year. We'll see. I'd feel better if it wasn't Josh McDaniels. I'll feel better if they add some weapons.
Yeah.
And maybe even if they go out and go crazy with Cooper Kupp and T. Higgins or something like that, I would revise this list and bump Drake May up.
So he starts the year top half, though.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good.
Yeah, I think I'd have, Goff, Tua, Purdy, Dak, Love ahead of him.
Yeah.
And then maybe I'd have him 16 off the top of my head.
Not bad.
16, 17, something
Not a
like
bad
that.
Place to start.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, you look at the division, it's at least close with Tua and the Jets. We don't even know what their quarterback's going to be. It's like you got to start somewhere and you start to like build it up a little bit. And then if you look at, all right, there's going to be, what, 7 playoff teams? Can he crack the top 7 in the conference? Like that kind of thing.
So we both do have Jalen Hurts in the top 10. You have him 7. I have him 9.
I like Hurts.
I think we're higher on him than most people.
That's definitely true.
So I like him, and I think if the Eagles are going to win, he has to be a massive part of it. They're not going to do it running on the back of Saquon Barkley. I don't believe. But we can open this up. Is Drake May a top 10 quarterback? Who would you take over Drake May? And how do you feel about Jalen Hurts in this Super Bowl? We both feel he's a top 10 quarterback. Eddie's in the car. Go ahead, Eddie.
Hey, guys. How are you? I wanted to get in early. I just think this Super Bowl, I think it's Philadelphia Super Bowl. I think they're going to win this. And let me tell you why. It reminds me a little bit when the Patriots played Philadelphia a few years ago and they just got spanked. And I just think that's the type of game Philadelphia has to play to win. And I just think they're going to win this game going away. They've had a great season. They haven't had any hiccups along the way. And I think this is their year. A lot of people think that Kansas City's better. I think Kansas City's better only because people know what they've seen from Mahomes. But I like this kid. I like the quarterback for Philadelphia, and I think he's going to make a difference. And I can't wait. Can't wait for hopefully a win on Sunday.
Okay, Eddie. First of all, did he say hiccups? Second of all,
the hiccups.
I
that's what it sounds like when you have the hiccups. When you say hiccups, the hiccups.
Oh, I thought it was like he was giving them a gender, is what I thought he was doing.
Oh, the hiccups.
Yeah. That's kind of how I looked at that.
Yeah.
So I kind of agree with the way Curran framed it earlier in the week, or yesterday, I guess.
Hiccups.
On our Tommy Tuesday. There's got to be. I know Greg Hill is the marketing genius. There's got to be. There's got to be some sort of male product there that you could build around that. We already got the name. We just got to figure out the product.
The hiccups. I think Kramer was selling one of those in Seinfeld.
The bro?
Yeah.
Nice.
The man's ear.
I'm sorry, the man's ear. I think Curran framed it right, that you give the Chiefs the coach and the quarterback edge. Do you give them the edge anywhere else? Probably not. So it comes down to the
tight
importance.
End.
Well, yeah. It comes down to the importance of coach and quarterback in the league.
Oh, no. What do you mean coach and quarterback? No, I give them the edge on defense.
Over the Eagles defense?
I think the Chiefs defense is better.
I definitely don't.
I do.
So, and I find some of the players on that Eagles defense detestable. I can't stand them. But I would give the Eagles the check mark defensively.
But so that game, he's not the first person I've heard mention that. And I don't know if they just meant like one team wasn't given credit, even though they weren't like a huge underdog. Just everybody was picking the other team, like that kind of thing. Because that Super Bowl is 41-33. Like, do you really think this Super Bowl is going to be that high scoring?
Yeah, I think that's more what he means. No one's really picking the Eagles, and it's a Chiefs coronation. I think a lot of the country is rooting against the Chiefs, but
like,
I think
Foles threw for 373 yards and 3 touchdowns. Like, I'm not sure Hurts does that. And Brady threw for 500.
I
don't think either. You think there's going to be almost 900 yards of passing in this game?
No, but if there is, that favors the Eagles, I think. If it's a high-scoring game, that favors Philly. Because Philly can light up the scoreboard. And the Chiefs just haven't this year. And I think it's much more likely the Chiefs win a game in the teens or 20s. If you get into the 30s, I think the Eagles win that game. Mm. And I think that's because Hurts can throw on him. He did in the Super Bowl a couple of years ago.
Hurts threw for 204 in Super Bowl 57. He also had 70 yards on the ground with 3 touchdowns.
Wait, did Hurts only throw for 204 in that Super Bowl?
No, 304.
Thank you. I thought he broke 300 in that game. I was going to say,
that's really small and I'm blind.
Yeah, that's enough. Fine. Size is a problem for some of us. It's okay. So, yeah, no, I thought Hurts had a good Super Bowl. I was surprised it was only 200 yards.
Yeah.
That makes more sense. So, I think if the game gets into the 30s, that's a problem for the Chiefs. They've barely gotten there all year long until last week, where, of course, as they do, they tend to win these games.
When they need it.
Spoiler alert, though, I don't think the game's going to be played in the 30s. I think it's a lower scoring game.
Yeah.
And I think the Chiefs win it.
Mm-hmm.
Mark is in Medford. He's back on the Bruins. Go ahead, Mark.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, good. I got a couple of thoughts on the Bruins, and then I do have a same game parlay that I want your opinion on.
Great.
First on the Bruins, they looked the last two games, this game and the game against the Rangers, they looked like more of a cohesive unit. And definitely last night was Jeremy Swayman's best game of the season by far, no doubt. With that being said, do they go right back to him tonight? And my same game parlay is I got Barkley 125 combined rushing and receiving yards with 2 touchdowns. I have Jalen Hurts with 25 rushing yards and a touchdown, and Kareem Hunt with 40 rushing yards and a touchdown.
Okay, that's a 6-leg parlay, Keith. That's a lot of he expects
take
a high score
bank.
What does he have? He has 4 touchdowns out of those 3 players.
Take it to the
bank. Did he say 2 for Hurts or 1 for Hurts? I already forgot.
I didn't hear any of it.
Double touchdown for I'd stick with the 125 receiving and rushing with the 2 touchdowns. I'd probably just keep the bet to that.
Yeah.
But sometimes you got to add more legs to get boosts and things like this. Yes.
All right.
Oh, I thought Billy was leaning
Billy
in
had
there
something else
with
there.
A critique. Do you think they go back to Swayman tonight? That's a good question. And should they?
I don't think they do. Has he ever played back-to-back games?
Well, ever, yes.
No.
Has he this year?
Yeah, this year, I mean, like back-to-back, not back-to-back games. I mean, like back-to-back nights. Has he done that?
I want to say yes, but I'd have to fact check myself.
We'd have to take a look.
He just played very well.
Check the stats and info department.
He just played very well against the Rangers. We can effort to look that
they
up.
They haven't had a ton of back-to-back games. All the ones I'm seeing recently were
27 and 28 of December was different goalies.
Yeah,
good question. All right, well, we'll
four or five different goalies. January 4th and 5th they played.
Okay.
Swayman and Corpy.
Early returns look like no.
I bet Corpy. Who's the first off the ice? That's what the Bruins beat writers usually nail.
No, that's their
specialty.
Those
guys are all over that normally.
Any real issues within the team, rumors, big scoops, they're not so big
Nothing
on.
Nothing to see here.
But when it comes to first off the ice, they got you covered.
Who is it?
He hasn't played back-to-back nights.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So there's your answer, Mark. 617-779-7937. You can jump in here. We'll get to the ref conundrum for the NFL. Coming up, and it's Would You Rather Wednesday on Jones and Keefe. We'll give you some Would You Rathers right after Trending with Billy Lanning.
It's time for
Would You Rather Wednesday.
Would you rather Juan Soto or Would you rather have a pet monkey or a mini pig? Would you rather be a werewolf or a vampire?
On Jones and Keefe.
Your choice is yours. You can get with this, or you can get with that. You can get with this, or you can get with that. You can get with this, or you can get with that.
Get to some Would You Rathers here on Jones and Keith. A reminder that WEEI's coverage of football's postseason brought to you by Wise Snacks. No one does crunchy, salty, or cheesy better than Wise Snacks. We'll get back into the Celtics and the Bruins. Terp's going to join us at high noon on a Celtics Wednesday. We'll get his thoughts. We'll get back to the Bees as well. Trade rumors involving Brad Marchand. But let's get to some Would You Rathers on a Would You Rather Wednesday. What's up first, Billy?
All right. Would you rather complete a three-peat or an undefeated season?
Got to go undefeated season there,
undefeated
right?
season. Yeah, because you're the best team in football history if you pull that off. And I know someone would say, well, nobody thinks the 72 Dolphins are. It's like, yeah, I know. But if it happened now, especially with an 18-game or 17, soon to be 18-game regular season, with the level of competition and everything, I think you would look at it and be like, that is the single greatest team ever. The three-peats... also amazing, right? Nobody's done that. Well, they both would be technically a first.
Let's break it down this way. One's three, the other one's one. So, I mean, would you rather... You could look at it that way and say, I'd rather have three championships than one. But I do think being able to say you went undefeated... No one's done the three-peat either. But being able to say you went undefeated...
Yeah.
When you'd be the second team to do that, but the first on this many games of a schedule and having a perfect season... I think Patriots fans... Maybe we can ask them this. I think Patriots fans would trade... a Super Bowl winner, two out of the six, to win it all in 2007 and complete that,
as opposed
to losing to Eli and the Giants, I would trade it for the perfect season.
But also for those saying that, oh well, three is greater than one, just take the three. It's like, well, in this scenario, we're also not saying that you don't win anything any else.
No, that's
you might
true.
Win one, not the next year. Maybe you win another one, not the next year. Like, you still might win three, but when you look back on it, okay, so say hypothetically the Patriots pulled off the 07 thing and the Chiefs win on Sunday. And then 10 years from now, we're looking back on both things and you're comparing the two. I'd be like, oh, that's a cooler distinction to me going undefeated for 1 year than it is the three-peat.
Right. I would wait. Yeah. Assuming the overall amount of championships are similar, I would wait the undefeated season more than the three-peat. Yeah. Yes. I agree with you on that.
All right. I like that more.
Would you rather Mahomes and Hunt or Hurts and Barkley?
I mean, Barkley's amazing. I would just rather have Mahomes. And we both think Jalen Hurts is a top 10 quarterback.
Yeah.
Keith had him a little higher than I did. But if I get Mahomes and also ran running back like Kareem Hunt or an awesome running back and a guy at the back end of the top 10 quarterbacks, I'd rather have Patrick Mahomes.
Is Jalen Hurts closer to Patrick Mahomes or Kareem Hunt closer to Saquon Barkley?
Oh, Hurts is closer to Mahomes, I think.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, I guess
you can
say...
Mahomes is the best and Barkley is the best, but the thing that Mahomes is the best at is more important.
Yeah.
So I would also take the Chiefs duo.
Well, yeah, I mean, as we talk it out, maybe Hunt, a league average running back, is closer to the best running back than a top 10 quarterback is to Mahomes. That's probably true.
Because Mahomes is like way above. We would even say Mahomes is better than like Allen and Jackson. So certainly he's way better than
Jalen
Hurts.
We're also thinking of Patrick Mahomes...
from a few years ago.
What he's capable of, not Patrick Mahomes this year. Like,
no.
Mahomes has not been... Patrick Mahomes this year, right?
Right. But like say you're a defensive coordinator and you're like, all right, we got Hurts and Barkley coming up. Brutal, tough, right? Watch for the tush push.
Yeah.
Or you got Mahomes and whoever. I think Mahomes probably still outweighs it, right?
That's fair.
There's like years ago, if it was like Tom Brady and LeGarrette Blount versus like, you know, Edgerrin James and somebody or LaDainian Tomlinson and Rivers, right? You'd be like, oh, that's really good, but you know,
I'll take Brady. That's a great analogy because Rivers was fine.
Rivers,
I didn't like him as much as most people.
And
Rivers was fine. Tomlinson was an all-time great.
Well, until he pouted on the bench.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's an all-time great baby as well, but he's a great running back. That's a good analogy, and yeah, I would take Brady in that scenario, so I'll take Mahomes here.
Would you rather have Super Bowl on a Saturday or a Sunday?
You go first with this one. What even is this?
Would you rather have... What do you mean, what is this?
A
would
Super
you rather
Bowl have, Saturday? No, yeah. I don't want a Super Bowl
they
Saturday.
They already have a week off, so it's not like you're rushing it. People always complain, like, oh, the Monday after the Super Bowl should be a holiday so I can get really drunk and sleep in or whatever. It's like... If you put it on Saturday, you don't have to worry about that. So you can go hard on Saturday, and then the next day you're not working.
Really rage.
No, well, you could.
Yeah.
You get really nuts.
And that could be alcohol. That could just be loading up on our snacks that we teared off yesterday.
You could watch, you know, whatever show.
Wake up with a food coma.
What's the show this year that's going to be on after? Because it's always great when they do the top 100 rated shows from the year, and like 80 of them are football. And then it's like, you know, the Oscars, the Grammys, whatever. And then there's one, and it's some random-ass show. And then they put in parentheses, they're like, aired after Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It's like,
you're
like, oh, okay. Such a fake number. Like, aired after Super Bowl. No, I'd still rather it be Sunday. I don't care. I can get up for work the next day. And it is Super Bowl Sunday. It's the traditional day for it. I don't need it on Saturday just for the day off the next day.
Well, and like, selfishly, you want to play it out for our industry.
Oh, you want to be
I
on
want the game
right
on
now.
Sunday and be on the next day. Yeah. I don't need a day of lag time before we get on and react to
even
it.
Even if you didn't have our job, if you had like another job, like on Monday, you're there talking about the, you know, the game, the commercials, the halftime show.
What if you had the morning show shift?
So that's where I worked the morning after. I don't think I've worked the morning after a Super Bowl. I've worked this day part after a Super Bowl.
But I've worked morning shifts after like Monday Night Football and like primetime games.
Yeah, those are later finishes. Brutal. That's a good point.
At least this starts at 6:30. And so, you know, you might not be able to watch The Equalizer, but you can go to bed at like 9:30, right? That's not probably terrible.
No, it's not. That's really not that bad. Yeah, I mean, if you wanted the next day off, I guess I get Super Bowl Saturday, but that just doesn't sound right. Super Bowl Saturday doesn't sound right. And I don't need a day off that badly where I'm moving the Super Bowl off of Sunday. Now, if you want to move it a little earlier in the day, screw the West Coast. I'd be okay with that, but I don't need to move it all the way to Saturday. I don't need to move it that much.
All right, okay. I was curious.
So we both rather Super Bowl. So a lot of agreement
Sunday.
Thus far.
We really
on
we really
these
have.
Would you rather. What's the final one, Bill?
Would you rather go to the Super Bowl or watch it at home?
Oh, that's easy. I'm not trying to go.
And that's either way. Team's in it, team's not in it, right? A great venue, not great venue. I like watching it at home.
When you've gone to Radio Row and done the whole thing, have you stayed for any of the Super Bowls?
So no, and like part
and
of
those were all Patriots Super Bowls, right?
Yeah, I went to 3 straight Patriots Super Bowls, but we left Friday afternoon or Friday night after the show. So like,
did you have the option to stay and just like pay your own way back, or was that not even an option?
Good question. Because I probably could have gotten like a media pass, I guess. And then. Yeah, no, because they booked our flight, so we just went home. So it wasn't even really presented, but I was like ready to get home. And so, you know, looking back on it, it would have been cool to go to one, in all seriousness. But overall, no. And like, you know me, I don't like leaving my house anyway. But the way they've made the games and like with TVs now, it's so much better to watch it at home rather than drinking like $20 beers, trying to get in and out of there. I hate big crowds of people. Like, no, nothing's better than the in-home experience now.
Yeah. And I don't even feel like I have a great setup to watch games, but I'd way rather watch it at home.
Not even close.
When's the last NFL game you went to? Forget the Super Bowl. When's the last Patriots game, NFL game you went to?
I went to Tom Brady's return game.
Okay, so that, in fairness, is a cool one.
That was a cool one to go
I think
to.
I would have rather have gone to that than a Super Bowl. But it would have to be something like that. Like something that I would have thought was cool to go to. Yeah. It would have to be something like that to get me to go to any NFL game these days because, as you said, the experience
the
is so much better.
Of getting in and out is
the,
like insane.
Well, and you miss the whole league. If you go to a Patriots game, you miss the whole rest of the league. You're not watching.
Yeah, that too.
Maybe a standalone primetime game, maybe. But on an actual NFL Sunday, the Patriots play at 1 o'clock. Forget watching the league for the rest of the day. You're not watching any of it.
Like the cost is through the nose. Like just for the ticket and then anything you want inside.
Where were the Super Bowls you went to?
It was Houston.
Yep.
Minneapolis and Atlanta.
So none of those are great. I mean, Atlanta's what probably the best out of those.
Atlanta was fun, and I have family in Atlanta, so I got to see them. But Minnesota was the freaking coldest I've ever been in my entire life. And we did the Radio Row was at the
Mall of America, right?
Not only the Mall of America, it was like in the food court. So there I am slamming my Orange Julius's and Chick-fil-A every day, like doing the show. And then there was like, they have like the big, like roller coasters and stuff. They have a little theme park like right in there.
Do you ride any of those? I heard Courtney say the other day, she was riding the roller coasters pretty much every day they were there.
No, I didn't do it every day, but I think I did a couple things. That's where they had like the media party was in there.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So I just camped out next to the bar, just slamming drinks, going on a couple rides. But so That wasn't bad. Atlanta had theirs at the aquarium, which, you know me, I love underwater creatures.
So the Atlanta aquarium is phenomenal. That's where they had that?
Yeah.
That's a very impressive. I like Atlanta as a city. Bad sports town, but I like Atlanta as a city.
Yeah, there was cool stuff in Atlanta.
I've never been to Minneapolis.
Minneapolis was so cold. We stayed near the mall, and then one night, me and a former producer, Jason Rossi, we went into the T-Wolves game. So we went to into Minneapolis.
We talked about this. This is when Bill was sitting courtside, focused on the Super Bowl.
And then Lil Jon did the halftime.
That's part of why they lost. Yeah, right.
Part of the reason. Distracted.
Nice. Yeah.
Distracted. So we went to that. And people tell me it's a nice city, but when we went, it's in February, it was 2 degrees, at best.
Yeah,
so I can't really enjoy this.
I could probably go to Minneapolis as a city, but for the Super Bowl, that sounds terrible.
No, Houston was tough because Houston was when I first got over here, and I was only at EEI for 2 or 3 months, and they're we're sending you to the Super Bowl. I'm oh, that's awesome. But then you get to Houston, you're like,
why not
Houston?
I mean, out of those three cities,
rough.
I haven't been to Minneapolis. Maybe I'm missing something, but I like Atlanta. Don't love Houston.
Yep.
So there you go. Would you rathers on a Wednesday? Rather complete the three-peat or an undefeated season? Rather Mahomes and Hunt or Hurts and Barkley? Would you rather have the Super Bowl on a Saturday? Feels blasphemous. Or on a Sunday? Or watch the game live or at home? You can jump in here, 617-779-7937. We should get into the ref conundrum.
Oh, boy.
Which has picked up quite a bit of steam. Are they the biggest storyline of Super Bowl 59? That's next. Roger Goodell on arguably the biggest storyline of Super Bowl 59. We can get into that on Jones and Keefe. WEEI. NBA trade deadline is tomorrow, but the Celtics, one day in advance of the deadline, have made a trade.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program.
This is breaking news. Breaking news on WEEI is presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today.
According to Shams Charania, Boston Celtics trading Jaden Springer and a 2030 second rounder, to the Rockets.
For?
Sources tell ESPN both teams are also exchanging heavily protected second rounders. So this is a bookkeeping move.
This was the most obvious one. Jaden Springer's contract and all these different aprons and taxes and everything else. And so he makes $4 million this year. So it's not a lot, but it's not nothing.
No, and when you factor in the luxury taxes, it actually saves them quite a bit of money, 15, 16 million. Yeah. Terp can, when Terp joins us at high noon, he can get us up to speed on all the contractual elements of it.
He can break it down.
But just know it's a bookkeeping thing to get below the luxury tax, save Wick, Irv, the future ownership.
Philly did the same thing recently. They traded a couple of guys, including Caleb Martin, so they were moving on from guys to get under the books. Jaden Springer in 26 games this year with the Celtics, averaged just over 5 minutes a game.
Did he play in that Rockets game?
Remember the game that he played well and everybody, I remember that I was there for the Jaden Springer game.
Yes.
Shirts.
Yeah. How much did he play in the actual Rockets game? He's an interesting player for
Udoka. He's a
defense first guy.
Bulls game. It was the Bulls game he played a lot in.
He played seven minutes. Thank you. He played 7 minutes. He was a plus 11 against the Rockets. But there was one game where he played the whole fourth quarter.
He played 20 minutes in the win over the Bulls.
Okay. So a minor
deal. Showcase him a little bit.
A minor deal outside of bookkeeping and saving cash, though they do dip below the second apron. And does that open him up to make another move tomorrow at the deadline? We can ask that to Terp when he joins us at high noon. But the Celtics have made a trade. You want to jump in with some C's talk? You can jump in now. 617-779-7937. We'll circle back to them coming up. We're talking about the refs. Are they the biggest story of Super Bowl 59?
No, I still think the biggest story is the three chief or the Chief Pete. I think that we did it all last week, but Brady, Mahomes, Reed, Belichick, and maybe not nationally, stuff like Gronk and Kelce and even Reed, Belichick, but nationally there is Brady, Mahomes and just Chiefs dynasty versus Pat's dynasty and them being the first team to even have a chance at a three-peat. I think that's still the main story.
A chief Pete.
And even what the hell we're going to call it. But you're always looking for another story or what the secondary story might be. And I feel like the ref thing might be it. People are so bad, especially, you get a call in the conference championship game and just the last bunch of big Chiefs games. It just seems like there's always something, right? It's either a call that goes for them or it goes against the other team or however you want to slice it, right? Or a non-call or something. I wish it wasn't. I hate talking about the refs. I hate it. But there's enough examples of it where we kind of do have to talk about it.
At a certain point, and I think the refs are a big topic. We talked about it coming out of the AFC title game. The Chiefs have gotten a good whistle for years now, just like the Patriots used to, is how I would refer to it. I think good teams tend to make their own luck. Well-coached teams tend to get less flags against them than others. And so I do think the Chiefs benefit from some bang-bang calls. It's protecting a player like Mahomes. It's like Brady.
What about Mahomes running kind of awkwardly? Does that factor in at all?
You know what? I
didn't get as much steam as I thought. But
well, the Super Bowl, though, you have a real opportunity
to
carve out some market share there.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, no, I think the Chiefs have gotten the benefit of a good whistle. I don't think it's a grand conspiracy, but if you do, it's hard to completely ignore it. At what point, Keith, do you think it starts working against Kansas City? Because I know most people here go, the Chiefs get a good whistle. They always get a good whistle, even though in the 2018 AFC title game, is that what it was?
Yeah.
Or 2017 AFC title game, whichever
I mean,
year.
I guess it's possible.
Even though Dee Ford wasn't offside and the refs called him offside and that benefited the Patriots head-to-head against the Chiefs. When it comes to the notoriety about it, Goodell is answering questions about the refs and how much they favor the Chiefs. Travis Kelce was getting questions about it. There's former colleagues of ours, Keith.
He was.
With some wacky hijinks asking Mahomes and Kelce about it.
There.
Clark Hunt was getting asked about it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's just, it's a huge, massive story. Like, at some point, does the NFL go, guys, this is the perception? Bang, bang, call's got to start going the Eagles' way. Like, is it possible that plays out in the Super Bowl?
It's possible. I look at it similar to how LeBron James is officiated. And every once in a blue moon, he'll foul out. And then he'll go to his press conference and be like, I don't foul out of games. And you're like, yeah, for the most part, you haven't. You've been pretty protected. You know, for a guy that could be as aggressive at times defensively, like, yeah, you never foul out. And you get the benefit of the calls all the time. Superstar players, and then if you want to take it like superstar teams, I feel like do get the benefit of the doubt. Chiefs always play home games during the playoffs, too. I think refs kind of buy into that at times. That is one of the many home field advantages, I think. But then some of it is just out of control. Like, some of it is like the booth review stuff. You're like, oh, it's not a first down. Like, that looks like a first down. So, like, that's not even just the refs on the field. There's so many different levels of it. So I guess it's possible. But it has been a conversation for a little while, and it hasn't really leveled out too much yet.
No. I do wonder when that happens, because a big call is going to have to go against the Chiefs. Just on the math of it, a big call is going to have to go against the Chiefs. And at that point, I'm going to wonder, all right, I mean, did the league get too sensitive to it, where you have a Major League Baseball umpire now dismissed and a good umpire at that, dismissed for gambling on the sport. You have Terry Rozier under investigation. Shohei Ohtani's name linked to sports gambling.
Shohei Ohtani is his interpreter.
So it's like, at some point, does the NFL go, hey, we got to get away from this perception, and it impacts the other way and winds up working against the Chiefs? I know a lot of you probably can't even fathom that.
No, I think part of the problem is they just tell the refs, like, hey, do the best you can. And unfortunately, the best they can is missing calls.
Did you see? That's a good point. Did you see the referee? Let me get the exact wording on this. The NFL Referees Association pushback on this.
Good. I want to hear from these guys.
To which I would say, guys, pipe down a little
bit. Yeah, seriously.
The NFL Referees Association executive director, Scott Green. You notice these guys are nowhere to be found after big missed calls.
I was going to say, I would love to hear from them.
They
at some
come
point.
Out after this.
Yeah.
Commissioner Goodell's comments that it's ridiculous to presume that NFL officials are not doing everything possible to make the right call on every play is spot on. Officiating crews do not work the same team more than twice each regular season. It is insulting and preposterous to hear conspiracy theories that somehow 17 officiating crews consisting of 138 officials are colluding to assist one team.
So it is one of those things where you're like,
you're doing a little too much there NFL Referees Association.
Yeah.
You are.
I wouldn't say much if I was
that. I would sit that out, ignore it, laugh it off. It's Marchand-esque.
It is.
You're drawing a little too much attention to it. Just laugh it off and ignore it as opposed to addressing it head on, because it makes you look a little more guilty.
It does. So it's either one of two things. Either you guys suck at it or you're in the bag for the Chiefs. So you have to pick one.
Yeah.
And if you're so offended by we're in the bag for the Chiefs, then you're just not very good.
Then you're
it.
Bad officials.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I guess we can settle for that then. Like, you're not very good. But like, that's going to kill me. Like, if there's a big play call and whether it is a 15-yard penalty on Mahomes or Jalen Hurts clearly picks up a first down on a tush push, and they say, nope, he didn't do it, fourth down, or something like that, then we're going to be talking about it again all on Monday.
Well, okay, we would. Here's what's going to happen, though. A big call goes the Eagles' way, and it works against the Chiefs. We won't get one phone call on it. We won't hear one thing about it. Not here in Boston,
Depending on how big the call is,
we will not. I don't think we will.
All right. I think if it's a significant call, it might be to what you were saying is like, man, maybe they were feeling the heat so much that they actually went.
Well,
the
no,
other
no,
way.
No, no.
If it's like that, I might bring that up.
Do you think we're getting a lot of calls about the Chiefs getting the benefit of a? The Chiefs getting a call going against them.
Unlikely.
I don't think we get a lot of those. Other way around, I'm sure we get quite a few. 617-779-7937. We have Terp joining us on a Celtics Wednesday at high noon. All the latest on this Jaden Springer trade. All the latest on whether or not the Celtics have flipped the switch. They're back. They beat the Cavs last night. Good win for them. We'll do that with Terp next.